was. All right, 1 Corinthians 11 tonight. 1 Corinthians 11. And we're going to be looking at coming to the Lord's Supper tonight. So how do we do that? And we look at 1 Corinthians 11. We look at it and we get the example for the Lord's Supper in the verses 23 through the end of the chapter. However, 1 Corinthians, the book, is written as a rebuke to the church at Corinth. For they had a very serious problem with carnality, of fleshly thinking, and was allowing gross sin in the church. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 5 in verse number 1, just gives the example of what's going on. It's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Just serious problems. You know, we think we have problems in our churches today. This was serious, serious trouble. And the reason for this part of the book is proper worship to the Lord. Because this time that we come and we observe the Lord's Supper, or any time we come to church, we are worshiping the Lord. And why do we come? And so we're going to be looking at this tonight. And we're going to read verses 17 through 22 tonight. If we could stand as you're physically able, read verses 17 through 22. So this is going to be a little bit of a different message tonight, a little bit more of a commentary on this section of Scripture. Then we'll get into the Lord's Supper tonight. But it is a good instruction for us that we come with the right purposes, the right attitude, the right methods of what we're doing here, and why it is important. Why do we do it this way? Why is it that we observe the Lord's Supper in this way? Is it just church tradition, or is this what the instruction of the Word of God is? And why is it so? And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, beginning in verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are reproved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you have blessed this time together in your word, and that we get a good reminder tonight of why we are here to this evening, of why we observe your supper in this way, Lord, as a remembrance of thy great sacrifice on Calvary's tree for our sin. And Lord, tonight I pray that we approach it with reverence and the proper respect that it is due. For Lord, this is a holy place and a holy time. And Lord, the church at Corinth did not treat it so. We thank you for the Apostle Paul's wisdom, Lord, that you gave him in rebuking their sin, but Lord, not only rebuking their sin, but showing them the correction, the correct way to observe. When we get that example tonight, I pray that you give me the words to say. We thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Coming to the Lord's Supper. So tonight, I'm just being honest with you. This is preventative medicine. I don't think we have a gross sin problem like the church at Corinth had, okay? But this is also good for us to understand and be reminded of why we do that this way. That this isn't just, this is the way Pastor Spurbeck has decided to do the Lord's Supper. This is just the way he decides to do it, you know, and other ways are fine. Well, we're going to look at, there are some elements of it that every church does a little bit differently, but the main aspects of the content and the reason for the Lord's Supper is given in Scripture, and we should follow that. Anything given to us in the Word of God revealed to us, we ought to follow as God's people. And so, number one tonight, we're just going to have a few short points this evening. No PowerPoint this evening, so we're just going to go through these verses together. So, number one, need to come to the Lord's Supper with the right purpose. The right purpose. Verse 17, we see here, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Our purpose in coming tonight is to worship and to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross, his broken body and his shed blood given as a sacrifice for our sin. To remember that. Why do we need to remember? Well, let's be honest. Do we forget things? Right? That we forget things. I mean, if we forget our own maybe wedding anniversary, or we forget a birthday of a child, don't you think we're going to forget this? Even though it is the most momentous occasion and the most momentous time in human history that God gave his son as a sacrifice for man's sin, and this is a time of worship and a time to remember, because it also keeps in mind the gravity of our salvation, how great it is. As we just sang, it's wonderful, amen. It's wonderful, our salvation. This time is a remembrance for that. However, that what was going on in the church in Corinth, it was not a time of worship. It was not a time of remembrance. It had become a fleshly thing. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 12, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Oh, what's going on here? Verse 18. Back in 1 Corinthians 11, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." What was going on? There were factions inside the church. There were some that were loyal to Paul, some that were loyal to Apollos, some that were loyal to Peter, some that were loyal. Well, I'm loyal to Christ only. We ought to be all loyal to Christ, but all of these things, and especially these three men, this type of division made these men cringe. Because they had missed the point. Because maybe they got saved under Paul's preaching, and others got saved under Apollos' preaching, and others were saved under Peter's preaching, and they were like, "We're loyal to them." And what do we see from Paul? The point is, don't follow me. Follow me as I follow who? Christ. They had missed the point. They had gotten into man worship and hero worship instead of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, because of those particular, by the way, their doctrines weren't any different. However, their loyalty was divided. I preached a message several years ago called the Unholy Campground, because we have this campism. Well, I'm of this group over here, and I'm of this group over here. By the way, we're all saved by the same blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to be careful of that. You're not in the circle, you're not in the group. For some reason, mankind, we separate off into little cliques and groups of people that are just like us. Well, guess what? Not everyone is going to be just like us. We all ought to have the same doctrine. We all have to have the same Bible standards. Amen. We ought to have, because if they're in the Bible, they ought to be the same. Amen. All right. It's like, well, they're just a little different than us. Well, maybe they're a little less obedient to the Word of God or more obedient to the Word of God. Sometimes it always said, well, they're just too conservative over there. Well, praise the Lord. They want to follow the Word of God. You ought to be thankful for that. Amen. Maybe you need to learn something from them. You know, we have no problem. Well, many times, what are we having to do? We're having to lower our biblical obedience. They're like, well, you know, they don't follow the Bible exactly. You know, they do allow some drinking, and they do allow some things over here, you know, but that's okay. No, that's disobedience to the Word of God. And so what's going on here is a strife was going on. First Corinthians 3:3, Paul nails it down and said, "You're not doing right here by being disunified, for you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are you not carnal and walk as men?" This is a spiritual exercise, everybody, and this is not what's going on at the church in Corinth. It is all about the flesh. It is all about selfishness. It is not a political exercise of who is going to be more loyal to which group over here. The worship of Christ had been totally lost. The reverence for God, the purpose of why they were there had been lost. And we see that as we continue on through here. Verse 19, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." You don't have the right purpose, everybody. You don't know what, you're not there for that reason. We're to be doing this regularly as a remembrance of Christ. You're doing it for your own gain here. Then not only that, with the right purpose, second, with the right attitude. What is the attitude when we come to the house of God? Well, what is the attitude when we come to the Lord's Supper? They were coming to satisfy themselves. This is about me and what I need. You know, I needed that. Okay, when we come, verse 20, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, does not eat the Lord's Supper." Verse 21, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So we have, now the way they observed it was a little different than we do today, because we do it a little bit more of a formalistic way, which is not wrong, but they had it in a way as they sat down to supper, as Jesus did, the Last Supper, and they would pass out the elements, and they go through and share of the same cup like Jesus did. It's passed the cup around, and they ate of the unleavened bread, ate as a meal. Okay, but not as a fellowship meal, not like a potluck. That's how they were treating it, but this is not what it was to be. It was to be a holy remembrance. And what was going on is that there were people over there, they were treating it like a potluck, and there was people over here that were stuffing their face, and so much so that those over here couldn't even partake because there wasn't any food left. And it was turned into, why? It was carnally based. It wasn't the right attitude. It was about me, not caring that they were gluttonous, not caring that others were going without. And what is the example of the right attitude? You know, one of the great examples of having a right attitude in the house of God or in the service of the Lord has to be that of Joseph. And all, amen. And all, then turn to Genesis 40 if you could. We're going to look at this for a moment. I ran across this in my devotions this week. And we talked about the love of God this morning. And just going through all that he went through, in chapter 40, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we see that he was in prison because Potiphar's wife lied about him, so he's thrown into prison. But consistently, as you read about the life of Joseph, you hear this phrase, and the Lord was with him. Amen. The Lord was with him and blessed him, and he still worshiped the Lord, and he loved the Lord, and he lived for the Lord. But then we see that the butler and the baker had made Pharaoh angry. They were thrown into prison, and they had a dream. We see this in that the butler's dream, verse 9, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, our vine was set before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave them unto Pharaoh's hand, into Pharaoh's hand. Verse 12, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Now this verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Why? Verse 15, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now he's not upset here, he's just saying, I've been done an injustice, and Pharaoh is the supreme law of the land, like the Supreme Court, and I'm appealing my case here. Will you remember me and mention me to Pharaoh so that he may judge righteously in this area? And then we see the baker's dream, which found out within 3 days... Shall verse 19, the interpretation of that was, shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on the tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off the tree. You know, he had faith. He knows he didn't make that request to the baker, because you know the baker's going to be dead. Okay, he didn't make that request to the baker. And so what happened? Verse 20 through 22, it came to pass, it said, the butler was restored, and the baker was hanged. But verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know what? Probably one of the most discouraging words here, forgot him. He was forgotten. But do you see Joseph thrown in the towel? It's, I've been in here for years. I've been in here unjustly. This isn't right. He had a glimmer of hope that someone would bring his case to Pharaoh and forgot about him. Man, what about having that attitude? Man, all that he'd been through, you know what? I think for some people that would have been it. That would have been the last straw. That would have been the final defeat. First of all, being hated by his brothers, and then we see that he was sent to seek after them. You ever wonder why Isaac sent him, sorry, Jacob, wait a minute. I've been reading this, I'm trying to get the right, Jacob sent him to go and to seek after his brothers in Shechem, because 17 years earlier, all his sons killed all the men of Shechem, murdered them all. Yeah, so Joseph or Jacob was wondering, hey, Joseph, go make sure they're not getting into trouble over there. All right, amen. That's why he sent him over there. And this wasn't a little journey. This is like 30 miles. It's a long way. Also, in doing some study this week, I know Samson was mentioned, you know, when he took the gates out of Gaza and took them, you know that he carried them 40 miles. Yeah, ever look at that on a map? It's like 35 miles. These gates were 2 tons. He carried them for 35 miles. It's like carrying them from here to Georgetown. Running. Amazing. Praise the Lord. For that's just, it's just miraculous to see that. But then to see, but after he had done that, right after he had been with a harlot that night. Sad. God could have used him to do great and mighty things. He did use him to do great and mighty things, but even more than he did. The right attitude. Oh, when we feel like God has forgotten us, but we know from the story, well, God didn't forget Joseph, but elevated him to a place of power and be able to spare his family. Do we have the right attitude when we come to the house of God? Do we have the right attitude of coming? I'm here doing my religious duty. I'm here because I need to be. I'm here to observe the Lord's Supper because it's the time appointed to do that. I'm just going through the motions. Be engaged. Have the right attitude about it. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. The number three, with the right method. So let's get back to 1 Corinthians 11, and let's look at the method. So we see that Paul says, this is the wrong, you're doing it the wrong way. And then beginning in verse 23, he says, this is the method. This is the way we're supposed to do it. This is the way I gave it to you once. You're not doing it the way I instructed you, so I'm going to instruct you again. And I have received this of the tradition of the church. Is that what he says? For I've received of who? The Lord. Okay, so this is, Jesus himself told me this is how it's supposed to be. Because the apostles knew, because they were there. Paul wasn't there because he wasn't saved yet. But the Lord revealed it to him. So here we continue, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This is how you're to do it, what the elements you're supposed to use. So to observe it the same way Jesus did with his disciples, with unleavened bread. Why is unleavened bread? Because remember, Jesus was crucified at the time of Passover. The unleavened bread was a reminder of the Passover because that's what they were instructed to eat. They were instructed to eat unleavened bread so that they'd be ready to go in the morning. Unleavened bread, and also that's a picture of sinlessness, having no sin, no leaven there. We see that Jesus gave that example. But unleavened bread, and also they were to eat of the lamb that they had cooked, but also the blood, the grape juice here. But we see the unleavened bread as a reminder of the Passover, but as representative of the broken body of Christ that was about to be broken for the sin of mankind, to be beaten and to be cruelly whipped and to be placed upon that old rugged cross to have his body broken for us. That was representative of that. We will stop here for a moment, is that this is sometimes something that is not clearly understood, that we do not believe that when we partake of the unleavened bread and of that grape juice, that it becomes the body and blood of Christ, because that's in the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, and other churches. They believe in transubstantiation. That is not a biblical doctrine. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. Because what they're trusting that in is that because you have Christ in you, his blood and his flesh, that it has saving power. What we do tonight has zero saving power. It does not save. All it is a remembrance. But think of a memorial service. We're remembering what Christ did. But is Christ dead? His body has already been broken. His blood has already been shed. We're just remembering what he did for us. That's all. It is a time of remembrance. The grape juice, the fruit of the vine that they partook of, reminder of the lamb's blood at the Passover that was placed on the doorpost and over the top of the door that the death angel would pass over them, representative of the shed blood of Christ, so that when we have Christ's blood upon us, that the death of sin, that the death in hell will pass over us, and that we'll be able to be present with God for all of eternity to pay the penalty for sin. That's what it means by our propitiation. The blood is our propitiation, payment in full for a debt that we cannot pay. And it should be done regularly. There's not given in Scripture appropriate time. There's some churches that do it every month, some every quarter, some every 6 months. But I can just be honest with you, every 6 months is not often enough. There are some churches that observe it every week. Every Sunday night service is a Lord's Supper. I've heard of that before. I'm not going to say, well, that's wrong. I'm not going to say that. However the Lord leads them to do it, there might be a reason for that. We do it every month. We try to. Health providing. And I know this year I've tried to be better about being more regular about it. So far we're 2 for 2, okay? Getting it there the first Sunday of the month, that's when we try to observe it. Regularly, and with, here it is, number 4, this is the method. The right method that's given in Scripture. This is why we do it. But also, how do we do it? With the right reverence. Let's continue on reading. But let a man examine the self, whosoever, verse 27, whosoever, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. He said, okay, warning. Do not partake of the Lord's Supper for your own purposes. Don't partake of it for your own carnal designs. If you do that, you are dishonoring and being irreverent to the body and blood of Christ. Let me explain what I mean. Let's look here and continue reading. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine himself what? First, that he have the right reason. Why is he doing this? Not because everybody else is. Not because this will save. Not because of anything else except that I'm coming doing this as a remembrance and worship to the Lord. Second, with the right attitude. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it for my own personal purposes, or am I doing it in worship to the Lord? Am I doing it in the right method? But here's the reverence here. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So what is he talking about, the weak and sickly among you? People were getting sick and people were dying, because they were irreverently partaking. They had taken something that was sacred and holy and had made it common and had made it a vulgar thing, had made it as like a potluck type of thing. And that's why it's so important. Those things, we have to make sure that we are observing this properly. Churches, some mega churches, hey, we're going to observe this with Pepsi and potato chips. Hey, that's what we're going to do. I'm sorry, they are partaking unworthy, because that's not how God told us to do it. And they have taken something that is holy and reverent and brought it down to something like a tailgate party. There was even a church. Can't believe this. I can't even believe, I heard this, I was like, hear something, you're just like, oh, I got to shut my ears. It's going to blow the gasket. One church, I don't know if you call it a church, an assembly, I don't know, did it with beer and hamburgers. Or something, a hamburger, then it was with beer, but a hamburger or something to that effect. I was like, I couldn't do it. It was during a Super Bowl party, right? Hey, we'll do the Lord's Supper during Super Bowl party. And they were watching on the Jumbotron screen in the middle of, you can't even call that a church. You can't, a meeting hall, I don't know, you can't even call that a church. But that is the level of some of Christendom and churches in America today. That's the level of some. And we wonder why judgment is upon our country. We wonder why, what's going on? Because that's, how someone that claims to be a Christian could be involved in something like that and think that's okay by the thousands. We have lost something. They've lost the word of God, first of all. And they have lost the reverence. But let a man examine himself, not to partake unworthily, one with known sin in your life that you are unwilling to deal with, bitterness, whatever it is. And also knowing, the other main reason it's talking about here, knowing that you're not saved and thinking it will save you somehow. Thinking that this will absolve you of sin. Unworthily, this is people that are not saved. We need to remember the gravity. Its purpose is to remind, and if necessary, convict us. At times it convicts us, doesn't it? He convicts us, you know what, I need to be focused on this more. But that we should regularly evaluate our own willingness and surrender to the Lord. Christ surrendered to the cross. We should be regularly evaluating, you know what, I need to make sure I have that level of commitment and surrender to the Lord. So tonight, we're going to partake tonight. We're not going to have a formal invitation this evening, but we are going to have a moment of examination. As are those that are helping with the elements come forward tonight, we're going to have a moment, a minute of self-examination, just of quiet and of quiet prayer, so that we can make sure that we're as right with God as we know how to be, and that we are doing this with the right purpose, for the right purpose, with the right attitude, with the right method, and with the correct reverence tonight. For this is a warning against carnality. I don't think anybody here tonight is wanting to partake in this way. But let's make sure that our account is clean with God and that we're right with Him as we know how to be. And to participate tonight, we ask that, number one, you know that you're saved. If you're 100% sure that you're saved and you know it, praise God. The second is that either you have been baptized by immersion or willing to be baptized, because that is the first step of obedience. If you're unwilling to be baptized, then you are out of fellowship with God because you're refusing to obey the simple command of Scripture. The third is to be as right with your fellow brother and sister in Christ or fellow man as much as you know how to be, and not harboring any bitterness or envy or anything in your heart that is ungodly and against the Lord. That if you need to get that right with the Lord tonight, but that also you're willing to get that right after the Lord's Supper tonight. So I want to encourage you in that. But each according to his own conscience. So let's take a moment of self-examination tonight. Let's pray.